I have a very difficult subject matter, and you need to inspire me by your blissful Krishna consciousness. Then only I will be able to enter the subject. So I will have to see how far I can go. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Pritha. Purport. Everyone is searching for Krishna in the different aspects of his manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahma-jyoti effulgence and as the all-pervading Supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization. And thus, anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as the Supreme Master, another as his personal friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocations of feelings are there. They are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different types of worshippers. The pure devotees, both here and in the transcendental abode, associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. As for those who are impersonalists and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of the living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal, blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. Some of them, who are not firmly situated, even in the impersonal existence, return to this material field to exhibit their dormant desires for activities. They are not admitted into the spiritual planets, but they are again given a chance to act on the material planets. For those who are fruitive workers, the Lord awards the desired results of their prescribed duties as the Yogyeshwara. And those who are yogis seeking mystic powers are awarded such powers. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon his milast alone. And all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. It's very open, isn't it? All kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path. It means whatever someone has as a spiritual process is actually all on one path. Progress on the path to Krishna. Unless therefore one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness, all attempts remain imperfect, as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kama sarva kamo va. moksha kama udarani tivrena bhakti yogena jajeta purusham param. Whether the one is without desire, the condition of the devotees, or is desirous of all fruitive results, or is after liberation, but should with all efforts try to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. Wonderful. Today I invited one devotee by telling him that I want to speak on emotional fulfillment in Krishna consciousness. That is a very wonderful subject matter and a very deep subject matter about which many devotees have already thought for a long time. I do not really have made notes on this subject. I have many, many, many ideas, but I request you to bear with me, as mir zu verzeihen, if what I will tell now is a little bit put together. But when I see Gaura Shiromani and others so spiritually awake, then I am certainly highly inspired and will most probably say something wonderful. So if you can please kindly encourage me with your attention and your deep spiritual interest, then it will be possible to talk on this subject. Hare Krishna. The speaker is very much dependent on his audience. This is a polite way of excusing myself when I do something wrong, then it's all your mistake. Hare Krishna. I'm sure I'm joking, obviously. In the scriptures it is stated that in this age most of the people who turn to Krishna do this out of a motive to become free from existential misery. That is a very important guiding motivation for many devotees who are starting their Krishna consciousness. But I believe very strongly that this idea to get relief from material existence may be there in the beginning. And it may be enough to bring us into the sadhana of Krishna consciousness. But Krishna consciousness really is something totally different than relief from material sufferings. When you look at the associates of the Lord, they don't want relief from material suffering. They want rasa. That means a taste which comes up in a relationship with Lord Krishna. And although it may be alright to join the sadhana of Krishna consciousness, to listen to the philosophy, because we wish to start a different life, a life which makes sense. If we at one stage in our Krishna consciousness do not actually approach this subject matter of rasa, or I would like to use a modern word, emotional fulfillment in Krishna consciousness, we will not really be able to practice Krishna consciousness as a Sanatana Dharma, but at best as a religion. Yes, I have also my pictures, I have also my beliefs and so on, but we will not really feel the ecstasy and the divine callings any longer. It is my observation, and I think you can all agree with me, that to look for emotional fulfillment in Krishna consciousness is necessary if we wish to feel, to taste Krishna consciousness as what it is meant to be, something which pervades our whole being with a sense of wonder, fascination, and attraction. Now, I just come from the Black Sea. I can't tell you where it is exactly on the land map, but it's very far away from here. Thinking very deeply about this, there were almost 4,000 devotees this time there, and during the kirtans, many of us had the feelings that we were really experiencing ecstasy and Krishna consciousness, and symptoms like laughing and crying and were seen in abundance. And we all felt this rasa, this taste in Krishna consciousness, which is what we have been looking for as conditioned souls for so long, and we felt also very inspired to talk about Krishna. When devotees come together who are loving Krishna, they want to talk about Krishna. It was interesting when I was asked what I would talk about. I said, my seminar title is called Krishna. Then they said, Maharaj, you cannot use this seminar title because Padanath Maharaj's seminar is also called Krishna. And he was first. And then I said, okay, then I will call my seminar The Qualities of Krishna. And we talked about Krishna and Krishna, 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 Krishna. It was very Krishna, Krishna, full of Krishna. It was very good for the soul. Then I have now come to Goloka Dham, where I see our beautiful deities, Radha Madan Mohan, and our wonderful devotees who stay here and keep our projects alive with their service. And I'm feeling very inspired to talk about this emotional fulfillment and how it is possible. Of course, we always hear that for our bhakti process, we are dependent on good association with devotees who are full of bhakti and love in the heart. And we are all very fortunate that Radhanath Maharaj, who is certainly a very, very deep devotee of Lord Krishna, he comes on Monday, stays for Monday and also Tuesday, and leaves on Wednesday morning. So I want to request all of you to kindly come. Maybe you can plan already your days that you have time during this time, and experience Krishna consciousness in the association of such a good devotee of Lord Krishna. Now, for now, I would like to just talk about two subjects which I feel are a little difficult subjects. I feel sometimes a devotee might be asking himself or herself that I'm looking for Krishna. I really only want Krishna in my life, but does Krishna want me? Or to be more precise, is Krishna really willing to reciprocate with me on my present level? Or do I have to wait until I make more advancement and can more appreciate Krishna? Maybe I first have to go through a certain period of experiencing my karma and fulfilling my dharma according to my present situation, and then later, maybe in my old age or in my next life, then I could maybe reciprocate directly with Krishna. And sometimes we might feel very far away from a direct reciprocation with Krishna. This doubt might enter in my mind. Can I, on my level, reciprocate with Lord Krishna? There's a very interesting episode in Krishna Lila which gives rise to the assumption or understanding that yes, Krishna can reciprocate with all his part and parcels, even those who are not directly his devotees, on a level on which they are. In other words, Krishna can speak all languages, also all emotional languages, and in this way fulfill his devotees. Krishna's reciprocation with his devotees according to their different moods is wonderfully described in Srimad Bhagavatam in an episode which is really, really wonderful. Lord Krishna had gone with his father Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd boys from Vrindavan to Mathura. He had come there on the invitation of King Kamsa, who had tried many, many things in order to kill Krishna. He had sent many demons to Vrindavan, and when after some years all these demons were either killed by Krishna or Krishna killed them first, and then he threw them into threw him to Mathura, Peng, where they landed in Kamsa's court or in Kamsa's favorite flower garden. Then Kamsa grew actually tired of this, sending demon friends to Vrindavan. I heard just recently, after Krishna killed Putana had grown back to her size of, I believe, something like 16 miles, and she had fallen down. She had actually ran out of Vrindavan towards Mathura, and then she fell down and collapsed dead to the ground and landed in Krishna and Kamsa's favorite flower garden and destroyed the whole flower garden. So Kamsa knew we can't kill Krishna as long as he's in Vrindavan. Maybe there's some mystical influence of the ground of Braj. Therefore, he invited Nanda Maharaj and Krishna to come and give their taxes in Mathura, and simultaneously, Kamsa said, there will be a wrestling match arranged in the arena. It is quite harmless. It is for entertainment only. And Krishna Balaram can also wrestle there. So Krishna Balaram had followed the invitation and arrived before the wrestling arena which was built just to kill Krishna and Balaram. It was very demonic. Now, as they wanted to enter, there was a powerful elephant, Kuvalayadapida, stationed at the entrance. He was made mad by alcohol and liquor and was instigated to attack Krishna. But Krishna somehow killed him, and he took one of the tusks, and Balaram took another of the tusks. And then they went into the wrestling arena. All of Mathura was present to see the wonderful cowherd boy about whom they had heard so much. And they saw Krishna smiling like a his face looked like a fresh lotus flower, but there were drops of perspiration mixed with a little reddish blood from Kuvalayadapida. And Balaram also, whose color was white, came into the wrestling arena, and he looked actually red because his eyes were glowing with fury. Balaram was in the mood, and his whole face turned red and his body turned red, and they came with the tusk of these elephants. They looked so extremely beautiful as they entered the wrestling arena that everyone was stunned. And this is described now. There were various groups of people in the arena, and here it is getting interesting. Alicia, ich trinke immer heißes Wasser. Denn das ist nur so hier oben, das ist so ein Reizhusten. Heißes Wasser, das bringt es weg. Ja. So, the various groups of people in the arena regarded Krishna now in different ways when he entered it with his elder brothers. When the wrestlers saw Krishna, they saw him as a lightning bolt. That means they were very, very furious when they saw Krishna. Chanura, the top wrestler, a strong man, addressed Krishna and said, "There's only one Dharma. Fight." "Why?" said Krishna, who thought it's now his duty to give some Dharma Shiksha. "We are just little boys. We are not really suitable to fight with you, who are powerful wrestlers as strong as mountains." Chanura said, "Don't say like this." He was so furious when he saw Krishna with the elephant tusk and his beauty, but his power also, because he had the red drops of blood from Kuvalayadapida in his face. "It's very simple," he said. "The king has given an order to fight with, that you fight with us, and we should all follow the king. That is the only Dharma." He gave a reason. Krishna said, "But we are just little boys. We sometimes wrestle in Vrindavan, but it's a boy's play." Chanura became more angry and said, "We know you just fought this elephant and killed him. Now don't please talk any longer. Fight!" He became so angry in Krishna because he was in that mood. He wanted to attack Krishna, and he saw Krishna as very, very powerful and lightning bolt. Now, there was a different group. These were the men of Mathura, who saw him really as the best of purushas, that is men. In other words, what they saw was, how can he be so beautiful and strong? He's only a boy. The men were full of wonder to see this form of Lord Krishna. Now the women saw him as the god of love, of Cupid in person. They developed, in other words, a conjugal attraction, thought it would be very nice to move with him on a soft bed and touch his soft body and be very attracted by his loving words and so on. Now there was still another group. There were these the cowherd men and also the cowherd boys, and they were just laughing and said, "Here's our Krishna coming, with whom we are playing and who is sometimes eating from our plates. He's our relative. How wonderful." The impious ruler saw him as a chastiser. They understood, well, he is has appeared to do away with all the bad influences in this world. Vasudeva and Devaki said, "He is our little child, and they want to fight with him." Kamsa saw him as death personified. It's actually a very interesting description. When Krishna had killed Chanura Mushtika, Krishna and Balaram had killed these two restless, they actually looked at Kamsa. Krishna jumped to the dais, this podium, where Kamsa sat, and pulled him down on his hair and brought him to the arena. Then he got on his chest and made with his fist like this. When Kamsa saw Krishna and the fist of Krishna, he lost his life. In other words, Krishna did not really touch him. His hatred, Kamsa's hatred towards Krishna, and his perspective of Krishna, that he is death personified, killed him. There were also mystics who were not really intelligent, but they saw Krishna as the universal form, the yogis as the absolute truth, and the Vishnus and Yadavas as their supreme worshipable deity. So you could see that Krishna, in these verses, has a different relationship and is differently seen according to the perspective of the individuals who approach him. And Krishna really reciprocates to everyone according to his level. That makes him extremely attractive. That Krishna really is able to, reciprocate in great detail with every one of the living entities. I would like to ask you, what is your picture of God? Do you sometimes think of Krishna? I'm convinced that everyone thinks of you, thinks of Krishna. You will see that Krishna will respond or reciprocate your thoughts of him, and he will appear to you in a language which also you can understand. if you just turn to Krishna and make him really the object and the worshipable deity of your own Krishna consciousness. There is a wonder that is that Krishna is not only reciprocating with his most exalted devotees who have an eternal relationship with him. Krishna is also reciprocating with, let us say, with devotees who are in the beginning states of their Krishna consciousness. If they only turn to him, the rasa, in other words, comes, the taste, in the moment where a devotee actively and with his whole mind turns to Lord Krishna. Rasa is defined as that which is beyond imagination, which is heavy with wonder and relished in the heart, shining with goodness. Such is known as rasa. Please remember the time when you felt rasa with a certain, with a human being, maybe your best friend or your best girlfriend or your best boyfriend. Sometimes when one enters a new relationship, one cannot think of anything else than the person with whom one now enters a relationship, and feels an ever increasing freshness in this relationship. One begins to see new sides of the beloved person and is totally in awe and reverence, or just full of happiness. It's said in this in Monday psychology, there are four states of a relationship. That's in the material world. One is called forming. That's usually the time when, in a mundane relationship which we humans experience, there's this rasa, this amazement. Wow! He is really so, he or she is so qualified and so extraordinary, wonderful, and she or he will enrich my life like anything. Maybe you know this. This is in the forming state of a relationship. But because we are in the world and we can't, we will only experience a type of reflection from the original rasa with God. It can't go on for long. There will be forming and then storming. Usually we see the other side of that. Then it becomes a little bit different, a different story, and we understand, oops, this will be intense, this relationship. I have to go through this. I have to forgive. I have to tolerate. It's not only that there are wonderful sides in the other person. And if especially in a devotional life, if one understands, now it's the storming part of the relationship, then the relationship has a chance to enter into another phase, which is called norming. You will find a new level where you meet each other, hopefully a more mature level, which is not just based on that immediate fascination, that I would even call it a blind fascination, because you just cannot see all the sides of the relationship immediately. So if you come to norming, there was one, I once asked a Grihastha couple who was for long, long years together, 40 years, how do you see each other? And they said, well, we have learned to respect ourselves as friends. I thought that was a very good way of saying, talking about a relationship, a human relationship. Yes, to respect each other as friends. In this world, respect is necessary for a friendship. And in a friendship, you go through these states where you sometimes see, have to deal with the human sides of the relationship. But imagine they would have said this at the beginning state of their relationship. Let us respect ourselves as friend. This would have sounded as an offense. What? Don't I mean everything for you? Because in the forming relationship, there must be this fascination, or usually there is this fascination. Let me say it like that. Otherwise, people don't go enter a relationship like this. Anyways, that's on the human side. But with Krishna, the relationship, if you enter a relationship with Krishna, you should look for these qualities. You must have a rasa where you feel Krishna is beyond your imagination. He is so wonderful. I've heard this new aspect of him. And heavy with wonder. Wow, really? And your heart will shine with happiness in that relationship. Now Krishna is always inviting us for such a relationship in which there will be a full rasa, or I don't want to say full rasa in the sense that our full relationship is manifested. That will take some time, but where at least this rasa is there of amazement and fascination and love. Now you might seriously ask yourself after, don't know how long you are in Krishna consciousness, maybe 15 years or 10 years, or maybe some of us are younger, and, or 5 years, or whatever, it does really not matter. You might ask yourself, well, how do I enter into such a relationship where I actually feel this rasa? And again, I want to say what rasa is. This feeling that Krishna is beyond my imagination. He says, I'm heavy with wonder. And my heart shines just by thinking of Krishna. You might seriously ask yourself, is this just some motivational, inspirational talk? I mean, is Sachinandan Swami feeling this? Oh, is he just talking about a theory which he one day wants to also realize? Can we please practically talk about this? And this afternoon, I began to understand something very deep. I had already discussed about this with many of my god brothers at the Black Sea. There is a wonderful chapter, and if you like to read philosophy and you're interested in these spiritual subjects, please look it up in your own reading time. It's in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila chapter. I always forget numbers. It's the glories of Advaita Acharya. It's very simple to find. And there, Advaita Acharya actually gives us a road to experience this rasa. You can start walking on this road, and very quickly you will find that emotional fulfillment which you are most properly looking for in Krishna consciousness. I know that in the beginning devotees join because they feel some rasa with Krishna, some relationship with Krishna, but obviously they are then surprised that they have to struggle for their Krishna consciousness, and they sometimes expected it to be a little bit easier than it really is in practical experience. Anyways, there Advaita Acharya surprises us. Advaita Acharya is described as Mahavishnu there. He appeared in this world as a direct disciple of Madhavendra Puri. Now, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a disciple of a god brother of Advaita Acharya, whose name was Ishwarapuri. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always deal with Advaita Acharya as being on the level of his own spiritual master. He would see him, yes, you're the god brother of my guru, and he would respect him very much. And Advaita Acharya, in turn, would do anything to break Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's respect, because he wanted to be treated as a servant. We find Advaita Acharya, for instance, interpreting the scriptures in a Mayavadi way. And then when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes to his house, he says, Brahman Satyam, Jagan Mitya, all these Mayavadi slogans. And Lord Chaitanya asks him, Advaita, what is higher, Jnana or Bhakti? Jnana! This is the impersonal part. Lord Chaitanya becomes so infuriated. He said, you call me to spread bhakti, then you talk this nonsense. He actually forgets himself. He jumps as Advaita Acharya, knocks him to the ground, and gives him a solid thrashing. And Advaita cries in bliss, finally, you have accepted me as your servant, and you are my master. Sita Thakurani comes and said, he's an old man, he's well above 70 years. You will hurt him. But Advaita Acharya screams in ecstasy because he wishes to be treated as a servant. This is how the chapter opens with this description. Hare Krishna. And then Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami enters into the most amazing discussion of the character of the associates of Lord Krishna. And I want to make it short for you. He describes how Nanda Maharaj, although being superior to Krishna in Leela, Tattva, he's the father, only wants to serve his son. He describes how Sridham Sakha and all the cowherd boys are only living to serve Krishna. He describes how Srimati Radharani only lives to serve Krishna. And he describes how Lord Krishna himself becomes so interested in serving Krishna that he even takes an incarnation as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, I was reading this in great transcendental ecstasy, sitting in the sun of Goloka Dham, and then as I continued to read this very amazing chapter, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami goes to say that it is the right of all incarnations of Godhead to serve Krishna. And they want to do this because they come from Balaram, who is the greatest servant of Krishna. And then and there it became so crystal clear that if you wish to have rasa with Krishna, a relationship with Krishna, the highest entry, but also the lowest entry gate is if you want to serve Krishna, if you want to do something for for his transcendental pleasure. I'm sometimes very sad when I come to Germany, because we have a situation which is a German situation, let us say like this. And I'm always very amazed when I go to, for instance, go to such places as where I came now. The devotees are so poor there. You can't imagine. But there is a mission. They want to build the biggest temple in the universe, the Moscow Temple. And that they are going to do it. I mean, very amazing things happen because they have this dedication to the to serve Lord Krishna in some ways. And as they enter into this dedicated service thought, at such a moment, they feel in this relationship a rasa, a divine reciprocation with Krishna, who, as we learn today, who wants to reciprocate with the devotees in the way the devotees go to him. I want to tell you from my private situation, I also had a very bad few years because my health was really very, very critical, and I mean, I was in Russia and saw this most perfect healer. It's a blind lady who comes into your room, puts your hand on you, and reads your whole body and mind. They have many mystical people in Russia, and she said, "Be thankful that you still live. You must have gone through terrible times in your physical life." And I said, "What better than I deserve?" Now I feel very strongly in my heart a memory coming up, a very sweet memory of the times when I was so dedicated to serving the Vaishnavas and serving Lord Krishna. And I feel that this realization is still with me, and it is very, very, I feel very moved by this. Because I really know from the past experience, and also I tried to serve Krishna also when I was very ill and so on, in whatever way I possibly could. But it's really, my dear devotees, please think about it. It's really the entrance gate to the spiritual kingdom. To think of something where you can serve Krishna. It was amazing. Today I got a letter from one of my disciples whose name is Nishinghi. it's a devotee who had a terrible accident, and she's deformed. She's from Bosnia, but who has such a devotional heart. It's just amazing for me. She could not render service for many years, and she came just a little while ago and said, my health is, I want to do some service. What service can I do now? She lives far away from the devotees, somewhere in the Bosnian mountains. And I was thinking, what can I tell Nishini? She's hardly able to walk, and she needs glasses big like this to see anything. She's half blind. What can she do as service? I said, Nishin, you have to pray to Krishna. I don't know now. No, Guru Maharaj, you must tell me. Oh, Krishna, thank you very much. She's not a preacher who can invite many people to her house. She's enthusiastic, but she lives at her parents' place. Then somehow Krishna from the heart gave an inspiration and said, after, I don't know, after a week or so, I came and said, Nishini, please make a garden for Krishna and grow flowers for your pictures of Krishna, and just grow them, and they are only for Krishna. and so on. And it's amazing, today I got a letter and I said, please learn English so that you can hear, that we can communicate. I think it's necessary to communicate. Then she wrote this very fantastic letter. It made me cry when I read it. She said, I'm writing my first letter in English. I was very wrong, this and that, but I could understand everything because it was written with the heart. And then she said, here there's a dried flower for you. It is offered to Gonita. It's a picture of Gonita. And I'm very, very well. I have only one problem. The day is too short. I'm growing these flowers. I'm offering them to Krishna. And I'm reading like you have told me. And I'm chanting and I'm cooking for Krishna pictures, for my Krishna. And I feel so blissful. She knows Krishna consciousness since 10 years, but was only recently getting formal initiation. And it was so convincing, you know, how this poor woman, very poor, very, must be terrible situation to be in such a shaky body. I just experienced some rasa with Krishna by entering into this service according to the level she could do. See, that's the wonderful thing about Krishna. We in this Kali Yuga, we have this wrong emotion that we always measure ourselves and our service up to what others do, or maybe what we did in the past. Maybe we were very successful in book distribution, now we don't distribute books and we feel useless and so on. But that is just the limiting mind. Wherever you are, whatever you have, it is possible to enter into a loving rasa with Krishna if you understand that you have to go through the dasya, through the servant mode, where you just offer something with loving affection to Krishna. Like, my dear Lord, I've brought this thing to you, please accept it, please accept it. And then you will see wonders in your life. That is what I learned in Russia and what I wanted to communicate to you. There's another verse from Rupa Goswami in Lalita Madhava about Krishna's ability to reciprocate with everyone. It says, the people saw Krishna in 10 ways. Seeing Krishna in the arena, there now the demoniac priests curled their lips in distaste. The great wrestlers turned red with anger. Krishna's friends smiled broadly. The great demons were devastated. The sages became rapt in meditation. His mother wept warm tears. The chivalrous fighters became excited, the hairs on their bodies standing up. The leaders of the demigods were struck with wonder. The menial servants danced, and the girls gazed at Krishna from the corners of their black eyes. Hare Krishna. There are many more subjects on emotional fulfillment in Krishna consciousness. I will be speaking on this subject matter from many different angles of views. But for now I wanted to just give you a general introduction how it is possible to relate to Krishna as a devotee. We are obviously not a wrestler, or as maybe some of you are sages, I don't know if we can say sage, but not in the sense where this word is used here. The sages are more impersonal yogis who meditate about him. Krishna is really willing and able to enter into a rasa with you. But for a devotee who is following the art of sadhana and so on, this dasya rasa, or this servitude for Krishna, it is really necessary and very, very practical, we should say. Very practical. It's not impractical. It's actually the highest jewel, if you imagine. Nanda Maharaj wants it. Krishna wants it. Only what we have to sometimes understand, and I'm sorry to say this, I know I will become unpopular, but I think I'm already the most unpopular devotee in Germany. See, when sometimes we are attached to the wrong things, to our concepts, even if they make us suffer, and we just can't get rid of them so easily, just turn directly and lovingly and happily towards Krishna. It's difficult. Don't know if you have watched the little children of Nrisinghananda. There was this little Narottam. He was, you know, his mother and father tried to convince him to not suck on his thumb. Have you noticed? And they sometimes put salt on the thumb, isn't it, when they want the children. Is deine Tochter Manali aus dem Daumenalter schon, oder ist es manchmal noch, oder? Er hat noch nie gelutscht auf dem Daumen. We are so much used to look for emotional fulfillment in this material world. And I'm not an exception. I know also interesting this, interesting that. That is our thumb. We all go through the world and have our thumb in our mouth. You know, we want the rasa from our thumb, our material concepts or whatever, which we still bring into the devotional alive, and that keeps us from turning to Krishna sometimes. Stuck on our tongue. So sometimes we are told when we are entering a higher levels of Krishna consciousness, take the thumb out of your mouth, please. And we become angry at this. No, no, no. We are sometimes heard one of my godbrothers said about this. He talked very, very directly about it. He described what happened when we're getting older in Krishna consciousness. Please don't object. Please listen to it only. He said, sometimes Maya comes back to us and says, "Here I am, your old friend Maya. Hare Krishna Mohini. Hari Bom Mohini. Setz dich doch ein bisschen ruhig zu uns hin, so 2 Minuten schaffst du das, oder 5 Minuten. Here I am, your old friend Maya. Let me ask you a question. Are you emotionally fulfilled, or are you just trying to control your senses and your mind? Do you feel love in your heart? I'm just asking this question to you. See, you have given me up many years ago. I understood. That was when you were young, when you had your fanatical faith. We all have this faith. It is natural. You have rejected me, but I have not become offended by you. I am again here, and I'm asking you, are you emotionally fulfilled? Or are you struggling? If it's too heavy of a question, you don't need to answer me. I just want to tell you, be practical like many others are. The word which you need to learn now is balance. Don't you understand? In the beginning stages we think there's Maya and there's Krishna. But what really is that according to how you see it, it's either Maya or it is Krishna. You can see me as a temptress or you can see me as a servant of Krishna. It's a perspective. You can enter this world with a rejection or you can accept things as part of Krishna's creation. So wouldn't you like a little entertainment, a little holidays? In Krishna consciousness, I'm not saying you should forget Krishna. No, you should believe in Krishna, like I do. But be practical. Don't struggle. You will kill yourself. Then she goes, shoop. Next day she is again. By the way, I don't know if you thought about my question, but I have some very nice suggestions. This God brother was describing it in such a way, I felt like, Krishna, why does he always talk like this? And what, can I also talk like this? Because I felt like this since many years, that this is how Maya preaches to us. Material energy, well, Maya is, Prabhus, it doesn't give us the rasa which we look for. We need the material, we don't need to push the material energy away, that's a fact. We have to use this body to be healthy and so on and so forth. But if we want emotional fulfillment, the material energy is just not able to give it because we are spiritual. We are part of Krishna. We are looking for and we need love of Krishna. We need our rasa with Krishna. This is the first part of my emotional fulfillment subject. I have many more subjects, but what I really want to do is, I want to study now a little bit Indian psychology and what they say about rasa on different levels. I think that is very, very important. I would go a little into poesy and Rupa Goswami's works now. I have very nice research projects. I hope I can finish it before I die so much. But this is really, see, when we ask devotees, or when a devotee asked himself or herself about my future, the question is really not for a devotee. I'm speaking now of a normal devotee. My economic security. But what we really wish to have in the future is a fulfilled heart. Will my heart be fulfilled in 10 years from now? That is more important for a devotee than economic stability. Of course, a little stability we need, something. But when we have faith in Krishna, we understand that I will always live. It's not that. In Germany, no one starves to death, usually. It does not happen. I mean, the Bild-Zeitung would be reporting it, but I've never heard anything about it. It's a condition of the heart which we need. Sometimes our hearts are becoming so dry because there's no rasa. And when the heart is already dry, it breaks very easily. Like a dry cake. When the heart is full, it doesn't break so easily. When things are not working out the way I want, I even need them to work out. Krishna. Good. So I want to thank you very much. I want to request you to please try to be present when Radhana Maharaj comes. I hope so much that we can attract such good devotees to come and preach in Germany and help inspire the devotees. I feel very sad that I'm so limited and cannot inspire many devotees in Germany. We need really more devotees to come to help. And I feel our Maharaj is so Krishna conscious, he could really do that. And please, therefore, encourage him also to come. I don't know if he will come very regularly. I was surprised. I had requested him many times because we are very good. We are very good friends, and we telephone. But he has so much to do in other countries, and I had given it up because I don't want to pressure people anymore, also not my friends. And then he said, I didn't know that he would come. Everyone else knew it. Then he said to me, I'm coming to Germany. I hope you are there. You hope you I'm there. Why didn't you tell me? When do you come? I usually plan my every day of my life is usually planned ahead. Then I said, but even if you come and I should be in India, I will come. And then he said in his Radhana Maharaj way, he's very humble and very well. I didn't tell you because I wanted to show my spontaneous love for you. So he will be coming on the 7 o'clock on Monday, this coming Monday. Then he will be Tuesday here. And Wednesday he has to go to Mumbai where there will be 3,000 eager devotees. So please let us show ourselves from our best sides. Even come to the morning program, if possible, if we can find it in our hearts. And just be willing to open our ears and hearts, get some Krishna Bhakti. Would be good. Good, so we will end here. I'm expecting actually devotees to come. Is Parivadi wollte doch kommen und werden. Ja, du hast ihn schon gesehen, oder? Ist er vielleicht vor der Tür traurig irgendwo, oder? I will end this class here. I'm also a little tired. I think you can see. I was too. Every evening we went to bed at 2 o'clock and after dancing for 4 hours. I have chances to become the best dancer in ISKCON. I was so in ecstasy, you can't believe. When the so many devotees chanting, and the way they chant, you know, they get Hare Krishna like this, and that's amazing. Then we jumped from the stage. I don't know what came over me, but to do when one is feeling so enlivened. And then they all, I didn't think of this, but then they all put me so high in the sky. I felt like on the Empire State Building, so high. And then they ran and danced through the whole hall, but it was very comfortable. It was extremely comfortable. They know somehow how to. It was more comfortable than in a chair. Hare Krishna. Tomorrow we will go to the book fair and try to meet some nice, interesting people and preach to them about Krishna. I think there will be many literature lovers of spirituality. Then we will see. Good. So, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shishi Gonitai ki jai, Shri Akila Rasamrita Sindhu ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.